Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this March 20th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. And we are welcoming on our phone lines here, Senator Patrick Teston joining us from Wisconsin Senate District 24. Senator, thank you so much for joining us, as always.
Hey, thanks for having me, James.
Appreciate the time. Before we jump into the business, how have you been?
Oh, the same, busy. It's kind of a relief. We just wrapped up our session just this past week on Tuesday. We took our last four votes for the year, and now it's sort of changing hats. So it's going to be taking the policy hat off and getting back out on the campaign trail. And as I'm sure most people are probably aware, the 24th Senate District looks a little bit different than it did even just a few weeks ago. So I'm actually really looking forward to going into the new parts of the district, which now includes a good chunk of Juneau County, Old Jackson County, the eastern half of Monroe County, portions of Portage County now. And so, it's going to be a busy time of year, a different type of busy than what we've had for the last year and a half. And so I'm excited.
Looking forward to talking to you about the campaign for the 24th District in a little bit. And you've certainly had a lot of great visitors to Madison lately I want to touch on. But let's start first with some of the bills that have been passed. And the Wisconsin State Senate passed two of your bills during this week's floor sessions. The first bill, SB 925, the ban of sale of Confederate and unsafe lighters in Wisconsin. Can we get into the details of this?
Yeah, so this is legislation. It's similar to bills that have been run in the past with trying to ban the sale of novelty lighters. And I know Chief Miner up in Pittsville is a huge advocate of that. And unfortunately, that particular bill had always sort of stalled for one reason or another. But we were approached from some stakeholders this time around on counterfeit lighters, how prevalent and how big of an issue this is. But millions upon millions of counterfeit lighters come into this country, places like China and others that are very unsafe. They steal company information, they steal proprietary information, and it accounts for billions of dollars of damages every year from accidental fires and mishaps. And so I was really happy to see this version of the bill get passed, and I think it's going to go a long way for consumer protection and, more importantly, making sure that, you know, we don't have the bad actors flooding the marketplace.
You know, a bill like this too, sir, I think it also brings attention to a subject maybe some people don't even, you know, realize how much of an issue it is. So it has a dual meaning to it.
Oh, without question. And again, I mean, this is sort of really in line with a lot of other things that have been occurring, even at the federal level, trying to make sure that, you know, for bad actors out there, and when you see proprietary information being stolen and intellectual property being stolen, that's a huge problem because it really can sow seeds of doubt within people's minds of, you know, well-established brands and companies that have been operating here in the U.S. for a number of years. And so, you know, I think it's a win-win. So, I mean, it's a win for you know, American-based companies, and it's also a win for consumers, and hopefully we won't have as many injuries from these counterfeit lighters that are a huge problem.
The second bill, SB 532, it eliminates a restrictive section of administrative code that prohibits driver schools from being established within 1,500 feet of a Department of Transportation office that provides driving skill tests. Now, this legislation was requested by a constituent from Toma. Can you give us a little of the history of that and where this started?
So this is one of these head scratches, James. Sometimes you wonder just thing become a law.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
I think you teed up perfectly. There was an old archaic rule, in fact, in our research of this, trying to find out just where this came from, why to come up, that basically prohibited driving schools to be a DMV. And I don't know what the rationale was. This particular constituent who owns a driving school over in Toma had approached myself and Representative Vandermeer. And, you know, initially when my staff told me about this, I just started laughing, kidding me, that this is an actual, it's real. And so really just aims to remove an old, outdated, archaic law that just serves no real purpose anymore.
Yeah. Sir, I know that this happened a little while ago, but we weren't able to have our monthly conversation a little bit ago. So I wanted to just touch on a really important one that I thought was noted here, and remind everyone that you have plenty of Wisconsin Blue Books available at no cost. And then maybe let people know what the Blue Books are and if they'd like a free copy in that.
Yeah, so the Blue Book has been around, well, I think just about ever, and it's basically your state government guide of all things Wisconsin related, and has a lot of great stats and figures that shows you who your legislators are, and there's actually some really neat articles in the Blue Book, and you know, every session these get updated with at the start of the new legislature with new elected officials, and you know, I know for some folks that they are collector's items, and you know, I've stumbled across some old Blue Books going back to the 70s and 80s, and it's just interesting to see just how things have changed over the decades. And as you referenced, these are free to the public. If anyone wants a Blue Book, they can contact my office, and we can certainly mail one to you free of charge. And it's a really handful, helpful resource where it basically gives you a breakdown of all the state agencies, what they do, all the various boards and commissions we have here in the state, and then as well as all the contact information for all of your elected officials from the federal and the state.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be bugging you guys for one. I love those books, so I'll definitely be bugging you for one, sir. We are speaking with the State Senator Patrick Teston, a Wisconsin Senate District 24 representative. I believe it was last month, you had a bill that improves the existing investment programs related to startup companies that you signed into law. It was established in 2015. The Badger Fund of Funds is a public-private partnership that functions as a lead investor in five venture capital funds administrated by first-hand fund managers who are located geographically across the state. What did I just say, sir? What?
it's muscle, James. No, the Badger Fund of Funds, it's been a very successful program. And this started, it was actually in 2013 when this program was created, and to help with startups and venture capital. Now, when you take a look at some of our other surrounding states, they have made much more significant investments in venture capital and new business startups. And so Wisconsin's sort of always been an outlier in that regard. And so the Badger Fund of Funds, which was created under the Walker administration with an initial investment of $25 million, was dispersed throughout the state through this various fund managers. In fact, there's actually a startup company right here in Stevens Point that basically uses RFID technology to monitor the growth of tree farms as they continue to grow, and they use drones to basically scan and update these. So it's a really innovative concept. So what we did in this past budget was put in an additional $25 million worth of investment into the Badger Fund of Funds, and ran a separate bill to make some modifications to this. So one of the changes to this was to allow the fund to evergreen so that as the funds expand and grow, they can reinvest those profits back into the fund to help other business investments. We also increased the private dollar match to receive any public funds from 2 to 1. And then also have reporting requirements back to the legislature so we can monitor the success of these programs. So if in future budgets and future legislative sessions, if there's a need to increase or provide more investment into the Badger Fund of Funds, that'll be able for the legislature to make that determination. And so it's really, really at the root core here, trying to foster new startups here in the state. And there's a number of great examples, not just the one I cited in Stevens Point, but on the Department of Administration's website. You can see some of the different companies that have been established, and some of them are really, really incredible. And, you know, who knows? It could be the next big thing that comes from the state. So I was really happy to see this get done. It had broad bipartisan support, and it was a easy layup for the governor to sign.
Something that you and I have touched on, as well as our local mayors, you know, keeping local talent in state. How do we do that? This feels like one of the pieces to that. It's not a one fix solution. We're never going to come up with one thing to do that. But this does feel like one of those ways of not only keeping people here, but keeping their ideas in this state.
Well, exactly. It's definitely a piece of the puzzle. And, you know, you think about it, someone could have a really fantastic, innovative idea, but might not necessarily have the means or the capital themselves. And so it's programs like these that, you know, help us expand our economy and help expand our tax base and also help expand jobs and opportunity here in the state. And so, you know, I've been a huge proponent of this and proposals like this because I really, really am a huge fan of public-private partnerships where you're bridging the divide between government, which sometimes can be rather burdensome to work through, and then bridging that gap with the innovation of the private sector. And so to me, it's sort of a perfect marriage in a sense that, you know, it's a win all the way around for everyone.
Mm-hmm. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is accepting applications for positions on the next Wisconsin Agricultural Youth Council. The mission of this council is to encourage high school seniors to engage with state government and to increase their awareness of DATCAP's interactions with Wisconsin agriculture industry. Just so people know, the deadline for this is coming up at the end of the month, March 31st. Sir, this is something that you're pretty passionate about.
Without question. I mean, when you take a look at, you know, our state, and especially here in central Wisconsin, where we are very heavy ag dependent, and it is without a question one of the foundational bedrocks of our economy, not just in this region, but statewide. And so making sure that we're fostering an environment that creates the future leaders of our ag industry, I think, is critically important. And so a prime example, just a couple of weeks ago, at the Portage County Business Council, they had their Ag Appreciation Banquet, and it's so great to see everyone come out and, you know, recognize just the leaders within the community, and then also recognize some of the up-and-coming leaders within areas like our 4-H programs. And so this is just another way for students to kind of dip their toe into advocacy and learning how different agencies work and how they interact with things like our farmers here in the state. And so it's a great experience. And if people want to learn more, they can contact our office and we'd be more than happy to get in touch with them.
Mm-hmm. We'll give you the information on how to do that before we wrap up. Also recommend the website, datcap.wi.gov. That's datcp.wi.gov. And thank you again for bringing attention to this, sir. Appreciate that. Anything to help the backbone of our state here and our ag industry, we're always going to get behind. Sir, I want to talk to you a little bit about your campaign for the 24th District. You touched on this a little bit earlier. Real quick, though, and this is just between you and I, okay, Pat? Are you sure you want to run again, man? I mean, you've seen politics these days, right? No, I'm just kidding. I am curious, sir, and this is something, again, that you and I have touched on for years now. In your campaign, is one of the things that you are going to try to do is promote getting away from some of the divisiveness that seems to go on in all other 49 states in the union, but we don't deal with it nearly as much in this state, at least not so far, haven't.
Yeah, and I apologize, James. You broke a little bit there. I missed the first part of the question.
I'm just curious. You know, you've been running for the last 8 years. Your campaigns have been non-divisive. Is that something that you will continue to do and something you believe in?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've always tried to focus anytime I've in any campaign I've run, whether it was 2016, 2020, or even my municipal lieutenant governor in 22, is that go out there and talk to voters throughout my respective district and hear what's on their mind and get a feel for what's working, what's not. And there's no question that in today's environment, yeah, there's a little bit of a toxicity with the political arena, but, you know, I've always tried to rise above the fray as best I can. I can't say I've got 100% bad in record, but I don't know anyone who does. But that's always been the whole crux of why I've ran and how I run, is just to go out there and continue to build relationships and create that dialogue with the folks I have the privilege to represent. And I'm going to take that same approach going into 2024 and you know, coming up here in the next couple of weeks, it's going to be out there pounding pavement, going door to door, and having those one-on-one interactions that I think are extremely critical and necessary to have a, you know, have an informed idea of and keeping my thumb on the pulse of the district.
When it comes to some of the, you mentioned newer areas or different areas that you'll be representing this time around, is that involving different doors to knock on? How are you going to hear from those constituents and take care of their needs?
Yeah, no, I mean, it starts today, in fact. And in fact, after this, I'll be doing a radio interview with one of my colleagues, State Representative Tony Kurtz, who represents the Juneau County area. And he's actually subbing in as a DJ today, and he's having me on to kind of make my first introduction to the folks over in places like Mauston and New Lisbon and Camp Douglas. And the approach is still the same. And whether it's now that I have all of Jackson County and different parts of Monroe County that I didn't have before, and even less of Portage County, and less of Wood County, so it's basically everything Wisconsin Rapids and South in Wood County, I'm going to go out there and pound the pavement and make the introduction and make the case as to why I want to serve and represent these individuals. And so I'm hopeful and optimistic that it pays off and we can get back to doing what I like to do best, which is get down to Madison and put on the policy cap and do what we can to keep advancing our state in the right direction.
And we'll give people information on how they reach out to you before we wrap up, sir. But I did want to get to the last thing I really wanted to get to with you is this train station of a week you have had at the Capitol. You've had a lot of visitors over the last month. I want to touch on some of those and let the audience know about some of these great interactions you've had. Like the two people, you got to sit down with two young people who have the potential to become future leaders in this state recently. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this week was it was a blast because I joked with my staff. I said, I feel like the entire 24th Senate District is in the Capitol today. And so we had a handful of school groups that came down, and I felt bad for the one because I was chairing the committee, my committee, and had to hop out and basically just give an impromptu 5-minute conversation with them in the middle of the hallway. But I did have a couple really great stories. Zuri, who was nominated as one of the Youth of the Year for the Boys and Girls Club, and she came down, and she's is a member at the Burrard Center here in Stevens Point, and just a tremendous, tremendous young woman who I think has an extremely bright future, and had a really good conversation with her. And then even the entire UW system, they came down for their research symposium and got to talk with students from UWSP, and one of them, his name is Henry, I did a study on financial literacy and how important that is, especially for younger individuals in middle school and high school, because the more financial literacy that they have, the better off they're going to be in the long run. Because as numerous studies have cited, the more educated consumers are, the better choices they're going to make. And so, you know, from Henry's research, it basically affirmed what I already strongly believe, that things like mandating financial literacy in our classrooms and in the public education system is absolutely a no-brainer. And so it was a busy, crazy, hectic week, but I always absolutely enjoy when constituents come down and get to see just what a marvel our state capital is, but more importantly, to hear about the great things that they're doing back home.
Yeah. You know, whether it is fair or not, sir, I think we all own that as a society. But it really is, as a veteran in this game, it is on you and your colleagues to be a good example to these two young people, to all these young people, and really all young people out there that are, whether we know that they're going to get into politics or not. We understand that we're all adults. We understand the world right now and the way politics have been over the last 10 years. And if we want them to get any better, it's going to be done by young people. And they're going to learn by the examples we set for them. So when it comes to people like yourself or Representative Krug or how Congressman Kind handled things, our local representatives, our state representatives, you have an added thing on your plate of how you handle yourself with your colleagues and with people across the aisle. Do you agree with that?
No, I completely agree. And, you know, I think anyone who serves the public, I mean, there is a higher standard and a bar to be set. And, you know, we try, at least I do, I can't speak for everyone, I try to lead by that example. And again, no one's perfect and we all have our moments. But, you know, I do think it's important because I think that helps instill more trust into our system at a time when trust seems to be at an all-time low. And I think if we can start by doing what we can in our own backyards and leading by example that way, that it'll have a trickle-up effect rather than what we get bombarded with on the nightly news or the cable networks of social media, where it's just, you know, people going at each other left and right. And I don't think that's proactive. And while we can have differences of opinion, you know, it's more important about being able to listen and being able to agree to disagree and not do so in a manner that is so combative, and being able to, you know, walk away and, or at times circle back and try and recalibrate and see what you can get done.
You were also able to meet with some students from the Wise Academy in Nacoosa and the Central Stands Community High School in Amherst. How did that go?
It went great. In fact, we had some really good conversations. The high school group that came down, and that, which one it was is escaping me at the moment, but they asked some really, really great questions. Some of them were tough. I wasn't expecting it from this group, but it was good. I mean, we had a pretty frank conversation in the Senate chamber and gave my rationale on kind of where my position is on certain issues, and even some of the more hot button issues, whether we're talking, you know, abortion or that. I mean, it was really a very thoughtful questions. I was actually really impressed by the dialogue that we shared, and I think everyone sort of walked away with a better understanding of my position and their position. And it was I think a prime example of how things are supposed to work, that, you know what, they might not have agreed with where my stance was on certain things, and I may not have agreed with where they were at, but you know what, we heard each other out, and I think that's the most important thing.
It's great to hear, and it certainly goes a long way with what we were talking about before. As we're wrapping up, did want to ask, I know you're on the job series, has kept you quite busy. You got anything coming up?
Yeah, in fact, I believe on Good Friday I'm going to be working with the Humane Society. Hmm. I'm pretty sure it's the Portage County Humane Society, but I'll have to double check. But I'm looking forward to that. I'm sure my dogs are going to be extremely jealous when I get home from that. But, you know, it's another prime example. You know, you think about organizations like the Humane Society, they're always looking for help. And obviously I'm a sucker for dogs, and so, you know, hopefully I don't walk away with a third dog. I don't know if my wife would be too thrilled, but you never know.
If you don't adopt it, I might. I'm in the same boat as you, man. We talk to our local Humane Society all the time, and every week I have to tell myself not to adopt the animal that they're bringing in. I can relate to that. Senator, we appreciate the time.
I got to correct. It's the Southwood County Humane Society.
But you are coming to town. Cool. So you'll be coming to our. That's excellent. We appreciate all of our Humane Societies throughout the whole state. They're doing such great vital work in our communities. Sir, we're looking forward to seeing you in town. That'll be fun. If people have follow-up questions, want to know more about some of what we talked about today, how can they reach you?
Yeah, if anyone needs to get a hold of me, feel free to reach out to my legislative office. The email is sen.mylastnametestin@legis.wi.gov. You can also give our office a call at 608-266-3123. Follow us on social media, or if you see me out and about, feel free to pull me aside and have a conversation with me. I'm always happy to chat.
Always appreciate the time, sir. Safe travels out there. We'll talk again real soon.
Thanks, James.
Thank you. Well, a more Midday Magazine for you on WFHR, locally grown radio.